Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Back in the saddle. John Martin's out for the week. We got that, though. He'll be back on Monday. We'll be fully whole as we sort of reset the Memphis sports clock. Brad and I are going to be holding it down all week long. We've got a ton to talk about. It was a good first hour. I feel like I'm back in the saddle.
Yeah.
Got docked off the rust. We'll see if we can keep it as smooth. Every day around this time, we do a thing we call the rundown. Let's go. I love talking college football.
It's that time. It's that time. We're getting close. What are we, 3 weeks out? Three solid weeks is where we're at.
Getting close.
Yeah.
And a reminder of that was the AP poll that dropped today. Saw the coaches poll came out earlier while I was gone.
We talked about that.
AP poll is out. University of Memphis got 9 votes. Not ranked, but officially that's going to put them at about 39.
Okay.
Top 25. There are probably no surprise that Texas ranked number one for the first time in this AP poll. I'll get you down, get you your top 10 here. Penn State, number 2. A lot of people expecting James Franklin, saying this better be the year you break through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's time.
You would agree with that,
wouldn't
you?
I agree with that. But I will say, who are you going to get better than him? You know?
That's a fair question. And he's got you right underneath Ohio State. Can he get you through
it? Yeah, there are so many of these coaches that haven't broken through, but who breaks over on Nick Saban and some of these other teams? And, well, of course, Ohio State's there.
It's fair.
It's tough.
I think folks want James Franklin to win a national championship, though. He's been in a position with now, certainly.
Not so happy.
Penn State.
At Happy Valley.
They're number 2. Ohio State, number 3. Clemson, 4. Georgia, 5. Rounding out the top 10, Notre Dame, Oregon, Alabama, 8. LSU, 9. And then Miami, 10. Mm. The Boise State is number 25. Tennessee, by the way, number 24, spot ahead of Boise State. Ole Miss, we've got a ton of Ole Miss fans in here. Probably not, no surprise at 21.
Yep.
No surprise to them, at least. We mentioned Tennessee, the other SEC local, at 24, and then Boise State at 25. Now, as far as AAC teams, Memphis, the second highest ranked American Athletic Conference team, as we said, at 39 with 9 first place votes. Tulane, 23, one of 10 Group of 5 schools on the list. Boise State, Tulane, UNLV, Toledo, James Madison, Liberty, Navy, Army, Louisiana, Lafayette. Those are the teams essentially that you're battling for the Group of 5 spot in the playoff. Boise State would be right at the top of that list. And so, listen, 23 votes for Tulane. Again, they're not in the poll. Don't get me wrong, they're not 23. They got 23 votes, just like Memphis got 9. They're just outside. Boise State is that Group of 5 team that's got the most votes. Listen, I know we use the word reset, you know, to talk about the Memphis sports calendars, how we essentially do that going into, you know, September and October. It's that for Memphis football in the sense it's a reset at that quarterback position. In a lot of ways, you know, an entire offense. You know, I know we love DeWosier, the running back, and Sutton Smith hopefully going to be healthy all year, and that's familiar to us. But with the receiving group that they've got, all new, Brendan Lewis, the quarterback, all new, this is going to be an entirely a new situation for an offense that's been top 12 in the country, top 10 2 years ago, top 12, I think, last year, number 12 in the country, with Seth Hennigan. You knew what you had. Even with a little bit of turnover there on that offensive side, when you had Seth Hennigan, you knew what you had under center, and you knew you'd be among the top teams of the league. It didn't produce a conference title. We've lamented that and talked about that ad nauseum, but you knew what you had. This is a reset. Ryan Silverfield's been good on offense his 5 years here. I think it averaged out at number 33. It's a top 30 offense essentially for 5 years, been top 10 essentially for the last two under Seth Hennigan. That's been where your money's come from, where your bread and butter's been. It's that defensive side that right now, if you average it out, it's been 80. 80 is what it was individually last year. And remember, a couple of years ago, it was in the hundreds. And we said, you just got to get this thing respectable. If you're going to compete with Boise State on the whole for the college, you know, the group of five playoff spot, and if you're going to compete with Tulane, Navy, I guess UTSA, in terms of some of these other odds that have come out, they're one of those teams that's up there as a possible American Athletic Conference championship team. If you're going to compete with those teams defensively, you've got more work to do, clearly. Ryan Silverfield, for whatever reason, while they've got the resources to go out and get players, they've had studs like Chandler Martin we saw last couple of years. They have not been able to be consistent enough on that side of the ball to complement what's been an offense that's been good enough to by now win a conference title, certainly to have appeared in a conference title game, but been good enough. When you had a top 15 offense the last 2 years, that was good enough to get you in the college football playoff. It's been the defensive side you've got to fix. Can you do it with a whole new roster? It's sort of like we've talked about with Penny Hardaway having to replace that now 15 every year. You know, you're gambling on chemistry and those kinds of things when you have to flip it as much as Memphis has. However, what you have is the same thing Boise State, same thing Tulane's had. They've gone through coaching changes, they've gone through player changes and everything else, and yet those teams have been given the benefit of the doubt every year, both in their conferences and in this spot. We've said it. It's time for Memphis to be held to the same standard. It looks like from a betting odds standpoint, we know there was no AAC poll this year. They decided not to do that, but from a betting odds standpoint, Memphis third or fourth. John and I both said it. I think we're on the same page with this. We'll check with him again as we get closer to the season. But even in a reset year, I still think this is AAC championship game or bust when you talk about what the goal should be. Brad, am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. The debate last week was, is Memphis a program now that should be above putting out an infograph when you get receiving votes? In other words, if you're outside the top 25.
Interesting.
Because immediately last week when the coaches poll came out, that's not Ryan Silverfield, by the way. That's somebody on that staff who they're trying to market their program and sell tickets. But there was, it had a big RV receiving votes, and they put this infograph out. And the question I asked John, and it sort of lit up a match that day because, you know, we weren't in the golf tournament yet, was, is Memphis a program, unlike because you can't have Tennessee would never do that. Tennessee would never put out, we're receiving votes. Now, they'll put one out today that says the preseason they're 24. Memphis would probably put out one if they were 24. I don't know if they'll put one out for this AP poll, but last week they put one out.
They did.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Are we a
to your point.
Okay.
They put out a release about receiving votes in the AP poll.
And I think the reason why you do it is you're trying to sell tickets. But Gabe sort of took offense to it in a way. Not totally offense, to the extent that we've got three more weeks till the season starts. And by the way, your schedule might be one of the big things that works in your favor the most, more than anything, because you're playing the
big
boys
conference
home.
Games are all at home.
And you get Arkansas home. Maybe you knock off Arkansas, and then you're ranked.
Tell me again Gabe's reaction to
Gabe
that
was like,
as a former Tiger football
Gabe
player.
And Gabe and Jeff talked about it on his show, too, and Gabe was of the sense that
should you do the release or not?
He's of the sense you should do a release on it. And he said,
and
because
you,
of where this program was in its origin days.
And your point, and this is me gathering and not making a decision, your point is, if
you're
the program
yes.
of Memphis's caliber, do you do, are Tulane and Boise State doing this kind
and
of stuff?
And the answer to that we found was no.
Now, Boise State's in the poll, but
yes.
for outside the poll, are they doing a
They are not
suit?
Doing that for receiving votes. Like, I imagine Boise, and we actually checked this out, because I think John looked up Tulane's Twitter account last week when they received votes of the coaches, and they did not put anything out for this. In other words, we're Tulane. Of course we receive votes.
If that is true, and I have no reason to doubt that, and they don't do another one today.
Right.
Whether they do or not, even if Tulane does do it, and I'm thinking
you get the
this
point, though. Yeah.
I'm with you all.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
I'm with you. That this is sort of the, it's of the same vibe. It's of the same DNA to me. And maybe that's not the best way to phrase it, but here's where I'm going. As we've won 21 games the past 2 years.
Right.
What are you talking about? Why are you questioning our success?
Right.
It's, you know, to say nine, and I get it, you know, because you're 39th in the AP poll. That's still 14 spots out of the top 25,
yeah.
And you put out a press release.
Army received votes.
You had more votes in the coaches poll at 34, and I think that actually puts you at 34th. I just counted
you
up.
You got it.
Okay, yeah. That,
we looked at it.
You
and
have
Army
more
was right
there.
Behind you in the coaches, by the way.
You have more there and realize you did the release. No, and I'm not faulting the folks who were asked to do the release
tickets.
Or anything else. But yes, to me, Brad, you might be surprised. I agree with you. That this is putting off a vibe of, yes, we're good, instead of just worrying about the substance itself, worrying about making a conference title game and then being considered and getting the benefit of the doubt, like a Tulane, like a Boise State. You know how you get that? You do it by appearing in conference championship games when you're as heavily invested in as Memphis football is right now. That's how you get that benefit of the doubt. And then, and as Tulane has graduated to and now doesn't, it seems, put out releases when it gets votes in the poll because this is common. This is what they expect.
This is Tulane football.
And it's not a goal.
No.
Back to the point for Tulane, right. to get votes outside the poll. It's not a goal. Their goal is to go out and win the American. And we'll be ranked when it matters. That's their goal. And so I agree that it gives off the vibe of, again, we're sort of trying to fool you about our success. Instead of just acknowledging what is real, no, the department, we've been great in the regular season. We've won 21 regular season games. We've won bowl games. But what's left off the plate, just like we talk about with Memphis basketball, not getting past Colorado State in the Sweet Six, what we've left off the plate is a conference championship. That's on us.
Yes.
And so it's on us to, again, sort of, you know, get to that spot that Tulane and Boise State seem to have graduated to. Memphis should be there, and you don't need to put out press releases to get there. What's going to fix it are football wins and getting to conference championship games. So, again, credit to Memphis.
I'm glad you're on the same page as I am.
I am 100%.
Yeah. I just felt like I was on a bit of an island, and John, I think, was with me a little bit.
We need to be more about, and it's the same thing I've said, we keep it across the board, football, whatever else, basketball, more about the substance than the style.
That's
or
it.
Trying to spin folks into believing this is a level of success that's meeting your expectations. No, it's not. 21 wins, regular season-wise, sure, especially if it included a conference championship game. Yes, I will take that all day long, but until you're winning those on a regular basis, you're not going to be in these polls, and I'm with you guys. It kind of looks, you know, sort of second rate.
Right.
It looks like
a
program still trying to sell itself as those things rather than going out and showing us on the football field that that's where you are now. That's what needs to be cleaned up and proven, particularly on the defensive side. But I am very eager, obviously, to see what Ryan Silverfield is going to do in a reset of the Memphis offense. All right, NFL preseason observations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can be, you know, there's a lot out there. You might have some of your own that you might want to throw in. I think I've got the ones that are super important to us here, that matter to us here in Memphis, and certainly with our respective teams and everything else, and hopefully some of the ones that matter to you listeners. But saw a little bit of Cam Ward. They played the Buccaneers, the Titans did. The number one pick in the draft, obviously, in the Tennessee Titans quarterback. Yeah, 29-7 loss. Don't let that fool you if you did not watch Cam. Because while there was, and I'm gonna quote Dan Orlovsky here because he's the quarterback's guru, you could see it with him just with your own naked eye. There's some sloppiness, and boy, could I talk about some sloppiness with the quarterback that I've got with the Bears, who we did not see, by the way. That's a whole nother story with his footwork, Cam Ward. But when he was pushing the ball down the field, as Orlovsky likes to describe it, he looked pretty good. He looked the part. 3 for 4 for 50 yards on throws with 10 or more air yards. He was 5 of 8 overall for 67 yards and did lead a scoring drive, which is key. Mm-hmm. And listen, the Miami Dolphins rolled out Tua Tagovailoa. They haven't played him in the preseason, I think, since 2021. And they rolled him out there against a Bears team that played no starters, because Mike McDaniel and that offense wanted to see them punch one in, right? They wanted to see their first-team offense punch one in. And for Cam Ward to have led a scoring drive, while I think his first drive was a three and out, for him to have led a scoring drive as a rookie with some of those ones, he was hitting Ridley with a couple of those passes down the field, that's a good sign, because let me tell you, the Miami Dolphins didn't get in with their ones did not score against the Bears, had a short yard situation, goal line situation. I know it's Bears, but I want to make this point about Miami here to make a larger point about Tennessee. They could not get in against the Bears' twos and threes, and they pulled Tua. It was the only reason you put him out there, to get a touchdown. So for Cam Ward as a rookie to have led a touchdown drive and look the part, I think this is a good sign. Clearly, and we'll get to it, he was overshadowed by the play of Shedeur Sanders and how fantastic he was. And some would look at Cam, who goes number one. People are just naturally going to do this. And Shedeur, who was drops to the fifth round, and say, oh, man, told you it should have been Shedeur number one. And, boy, Tennessee's got a bust. Do not go there yet. While there's still, it's one preseason game, much to still be determined. What I can tell you is it looks like to me Cam Ward's going to be the starter. We'll see on Shedeur. That was a solid outing by Cam Ward. That's the word that I would use. And if I'm a Titans fan with what I've seen, I come away pretty encouraged. Because, again, and I'm going back to where we were, was having this conversation with John before I got out of here a week and a half ago. But I want to tell you, I don't have time to pull it up now, that Cam's passing yards over, under, was around, do you remember us having this conversation, was around 3,200 yards?
Yeah, 3,200.
It felt low. We said it then. John and I both agreed. I think this was one. This felt, he is behind an offensive line that might be, it's probably top 10 in football, maybe higher. They've done a good job there, and they're going to play from behind this year. You know that.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels both threw for 3,500, 3,600 yards last year. You had, Stroud going for about, 4,000 year before. They're going to be behind, and he's got a good offensive line. That looks like more than 30, barring injury. That looks like more than 3,200 yards to me. It doesn't spell success for the Titans, but the formula. You know, we look at this stuff with fantasy and everything else.
Yeah.
They're going to play from behind a lot as a team that's, you know, doesn't yet have enough weapons, I think, to be a true competitor in the AFC. They'll be playing from behind. That means a lot of air yards for Cam Ward, and he looks the part, especially in terms of getting the ball down the field. He always had that part at Miami. The stuff for Cam, and Titans fans will know this better than I do, it's something, it's a sort of common refrain with me and Caleb Williams. He's got to do the basic stuff right. Mm-hmm. Make that stuff more on script, cleaner, you know, the footwork, clean that stuff up, you know, do the basic stuff. I think the Titans got him a quarterback, man. That's a big take for one game, but I'm confident after one game in Cam Ward that he's going to be okay and at least better than Will Levis. We'll see where it gets him. What do you think?
I think you're right about the Cam Ward comparison.
It'll
to Shedeur.
Take some time.
I will say, though, and this came up a lot after watching Shedeur on Friday, mm-hmm. I don't think it's too much to put this out there that New Orleans probably could have taken Shedeur Sanders. I mean, they might have whiffed. They might have whiffed.
The kid from Louisville. Right.
Yeah.
That's who you're talking about.
Hunter
that's who,
or Tyler Shook.
Shook.
Yeah. Because there's some video out there of this kid, and he's not hitting spots. Like, it's some shaky. And I'm not just talking about the one where the camera was kind of off, where he's trying to hit a slot guy or whatever, or like a slam pass. I think New Orleans could use a guy like Shedeur, and they should have taken a chance on him.
Well, there might be a lot of teams that regret it, because it won't just be them. Remember, John's Raiders, and Tom Brady was a guy who was super familiar with Shedeur Sanders. They reportedly, and from everything we knew, had a relationship beforehand, and Tom Brady apparently was supposed to have thought very highly of Shedeur. He passed on him like five times.
Well,
he had the chance to draft him and passed on him five times. They elect to go to Geno Smith, but it's not just the Raiders. It's the entire NFL that lets Shedeur go by them four, five times, depending upon how many picks that you had going, you know, in those first five rounds. To your point, it could be the entire NFL, the Saints, the Raiders, it could be a bunch of them that 2 years, 1 year from now, are regretting not taking Shedeur Sanders in the first round like most of us thought he was still going to go.
I asked John about this because I agree with you
he
on Shedeur.
He feels okay.
He is like, totally fine. In fact, he loves
okay
Geno. Now, I don't know
him?
If he's capping me or what, but he was talking about this Cam Miller guy that they've got. They drafted him late. They drafted him in the sixth round. This is the kid from North Dakota State. And apparently Brady thinks this guy is like the next wizard, this Cam Miller dude. I will say this. I don't understand why, if you're the Raiders, you don't say, you know, you might be overthinking a little bit is all I'm saying. Like, what are we doing here? Like, we saw what he did at you know, Colorado after he got an offensive line. Now, he did have weapons. He had multiple receivers that are NFL receivers. The kid that went to Green Bay that was at Vanderbilt, I forget his name. But then not just Travis. I mean, they had everybody, so... But I don't know. If I'm not convinced Geno is just going to be this electrifying quarterback for the Raiders and bring him to the promised land, but John seems pretty comfortable
Geno
with it.
Smith is stabilization.
Yeah, it's fine.
Him and Pete Carroll are something that will sort of even you out.
Right.
Right. You get some professionalism in there. But the ceiling is low.
Pete's comfortable with him. That's why they brought him in. I mean, that's why they're cool with everything.
The ceiling's low there.
I agree with you.
Geno Smith is not your, and I think John would agree with me, while he's okay for right now, mm-hmm. he's not your quarterback of the future. That's what you know about him.
And maybe it's Cam Miller. I don't know.
And so Tom Brady, for as familiar as he was supposed to be with Shedeur Sanders, I rarely ever see Skip Bayless anymore, much less agree with him, but I guess he's still got a show on YouTube or something else. I saw it come across. He had a Shedeur Sanders take, and he had a good point in there just about Tom Brady passing on him 5 times.
Right.
You know, as the sort of guy for the Raiders now who's pulling the strings, mm-hmm. if you liked him so much beforehand, and he would have still been a great value in the 4th round or the 3rd round. Hey, maybe you don't
take him
in the 1st, but what did you see? What had he convinced you of? That you're going to go along with the rest of the NFL and say, no, I'm not drafting that kid. There's something there I don't like. Because here's my thing with Shedeur, and here's the nuts and bolts of it. I mean, he was, the conversation's already turned to him.
I went there.
And it's fine, because he was the story of the preseason. 14 of 20, of the first week of the preseason, mm-hmm. 14 of 23 for 138 yards, 2 TDs. He was sacked just twice in 45 snaps. Now, again, 45 snaps in preseason football to just get sacked twice, not bad at all. Point was 71% completion for 93 yards, 2 touchdowns, 5 of 7 on throws of 10 yards or more downfield. Those are the ones that, again, where you look at a guy and you say, does he belong or not? Is he seeing the field or not? And that's what Shedeur has had his whole career, is that accuracy mm-hmm. thing. It's almost like we throw the completion percentage out the door, like that. Like we just say, okay, well, it's because it's a Deion offense that his dad put together or whatever else, or because he was at Jackson State and that level of play. This guy has been a completion percentage guru guy at every level that we've seen. And on those big throws down the field, again, 71%. So, you know, clearly the interviews hurt him. There's enough out there to understand that there was a level of, I'll use the word arrogance or whatever it was that turned people off. But here's what I would say. Caleb Williams, the year before.
What are we talking about?
Not just as arrogant?
It's the same. So I mean, worse vibes.
Caleb Williams had an arrogance about him to where he and his father didn't even feel like they needed to get familiar enough with the rules of the NFL, thought, hey, if we're going to come in, we want to own part of the team, is my point. How about that level of arrogance?
Crazy.
And he still got taken. Yeah. Also this, Caleb Williams was one of those first NIL millionaires. I'm not saying he was one of those first ones.
Yeah.
And you wonder, all right, well, what about the desire level of these guys that are making that much money in college? Do they see themselves maybe already as a finished product?
Right.
Are they going to go in there and work like a Patrick Mahomes when they're already making $1 million or more in college?
Yeah.
Right. There's that question too. And so you're talking about a guy that's coming in as a millionaire. That dude was just as arrogant. If that's what you're holding against Shedeur Sanders and why he dropped to the 5th round, you still took Caleb Williams #1. And even if the Bears had taken Jaden Daniels #1, somebody else would have taken Caleb Williams top 2, top 5. My point was he wasn't dropping to the 5th, and he was maybe more arrogant than Shedeur Sanders. So what does it tell you? It's just such a strange story, because what you saw on the field, again, and Cleveland's, you know, story on this was, well, just about every quarterback we've got was hurt, and they were. You had Pickett and Gabriel were both hurt. Dylan Gabriel, oh, by the way, they took in the 3rd round. Rookie quarterback ahead of Shedeur. They were both hurt, unable to play. And so of these 6 QBs on the roster, remember Deshaun Watson's one of them with the torn Achilles, you only had 2 that could go. And so Shedeur ends up playing until the 3rd quarter. I think a lot of people thought he was going to sink. You know,
that was the talk.
Or that maybe Cleveland was setting him up to fail.
Right.
You know, you talk about the injuries or whatever else, but you're going to leave him out there 3 quarters, and maybe Cleveland was setting him up to fail. This dude shined.
Yeah.
And so he looked like a guy who – probably like Mel Kiper and them were yelling that first day, should not have gone any lower than the 2nd round. You guys want to hold the arrogance around him? Okay. 2nd round at the latest.
Mm-hmm.
Like to drop to the 5th with what you saw? Again, you know, but I can, you know, my pitch is probably indicative of, I think Shedeur Sanders is going to be some guy in the NFL. I don't want that to be the take here, but this is a dude that should not have fallen that far. The NFL, clearly, whether it was his arrogance or tell me this, maybe some of those owners, you know, some of those folks that passed on him, it's not just about Shedeur. Maybe it's sort of about Deion too, understanding that there's a reverence among owners for Deion the player, right? But maybe not Deion the brand.
Right.
Deion that's raised this son to be so bold and so proud and so out there and all that. Maybe it goes to that, Brad. Again, you know, and you know, chalk that up anywhere. But something, clearly they all made a decision together when this many teams passed on him this many times.
Feels like it.
That we're not going to do it. And, you know, in doing so, it seems like you've just completely overlooked the football part of this.
No,
which is in the end what matters the most. Does the dude look like a quarterback?
Right.
Does he get rattled? Does he complete passes downfield in his first NFL game, preseason, albeit? He did all of those things and looked like he should have at least been a second-round pick.
So you bring up a great point about Shedeur. I think that the best comparison is when Deion was at Jackson State, okay? And there's a bunch of high-level major programs in the SEC, or is he going to go to the ACC, or is he going to go to the American? Maybe Memphis should look at Deion. And finally, it took a really, really good college in Colorado, who's in the Big 12, to go, you know, we really suck. Like, why don't we, like, go get that guy? And if you guys over here in these other power leagues think that he's too good or he's not good enough for you or that he's got too much bravado or, you know, it's too much flash for us, that's fine. But we're Colorado, so we're going to take it. I thought it was the same kind of thing when all these NFL teams are like, going to pass. And it's like, man, did we not watch what this dude can do in the Big 12 after he gets some players? I think it's similar.
I remember watching that draft and thinking there was no way, because I go back to the team that you brought up, there was no way he was going to fall below the Saints.
That was weird.
None of us thought he was going to drop to the degree that he did, and most of us thought he was going to go in that first round and not drop past the Saints.
Yes. It makes you wonder what was going on
in
these interviews.
I'm telling you. That's what's
crazy. Like you're saying.
And not all of them interviewed him. So what it was clearly a bunch of NFL teams, and you can go, with, you know, collusion's a strong word, but making the decision that, you know what, if they're not going to, if Tom Brady's not going to draft him,
right,
supposedly knowing him and everything else, then we don't want to touch it either.
Yeah.
And so that's why, if this all pans, it won't just be the Saints that are going to regret it. It's going to be John's Raiders and every other team that passed on him or thought he was too flashy or didn't like the way he'd been raised by dad and whatever else, and they've been on Front Street, and you didn't want any part of that in your program because you thought, oh, that will become our culture. Dude, in the end, if this dude's winning football games, you're all going to look like fools. And he looked fantastic for him. He's going to – I have a hard time looking at these six quarterbacks and not saying – that Shedeur Sanders at some point is going to start.
I agree. Old Joe Flacco.
What are we talking about here? Kenny Pickett? Like, we saw that with Pittsburgh. I know they put in a little bit of trade a little bit of capital to get him. And then you draft Dylan Gabriel in the third round. Like, you can still get valuable players at other positions in the third round, but you took Dylan Gabriel just to take Shedeur fifth. I can't look at these QBs and say, one of these guys is going to keep Shedeur Sanders off the field because I don't think it's going to happen. Did you see Miles Garrett? A bunch of Cleveland guys, they're behind Shedeur.
Yeah.
So, believe me, a performance like that this weekend, forget us media guys or what we think or anybody on the outside looking in, those guys in that locker room, in that Cleveland Browns locker room, they're going to start feeling like they got their guy right there. And once he's got the locker room, he's got the team. And that's when you should be handing it over to him. And so I guess eventually there's a good chance we're going to be saying, well, for as dumb as Cleveland looked taking Dylan Gabriel in the third round, you know, to get Shedeur in the fifth to finally do it, what a great value, because this guy is going to be a starting quarterback. That doesn't mean he's ever going to be winning AFC North championships anytime soon with the way Baltimore and Cincinnati are set up right now. But this dude looks like a guy who should have been taken in the first round like we thought he should. You can make the argument he should have been taken number one. I'll hear that too. But my point, definite first rounder, and certainly no later than the second.
Well, my other thing is
NFL crazy.
You can also say that he's not going to be a perfect player. Look at Bryce Young. Look what happened at Carolina. But you have to let the player who you think is going to be able to do it, like look at the passes he made for the touchdown. Those were window passes.
Yep.
I mean, those were dimes. Like,
man, that won the back of the end zone. Like
was,
I said,
I mean, there
you
was
had to have
three
some,
defenders.
Some gall to throw it, and he nailed it.
And he put the
dime.
Perfect overthrow dime
the
over the corner.
Yes.
I mean, it was really beautiful. It was a good ball, and he was on the move when he threw the ball.
His completion percentage, man, it's always been golden.
It's really good. And so
can't just dismiss that.
But you have to let him fail a little bit, too. If he's going to be or not be your guy, like, of course, that's why Bryce Young got all the chances, because he was a first-round draft pick. My point is, you do need, if you decide that he's going to be in the mix and you keep him on the roster, which they're clearly going to do now after that performance, that he'll be on the roster as a late pick.
As many dumb moves as they've made, the Cleveland Browns over the years, including the one that sunk them the most, the signing of Deshaun Watson to the money that they did, if they end up cutting Shedeur Sanders,
it'd be right there
among the tops on the list.
But you got a lot of decisions to make, though, because you have all these quarterbacks. You've got Joe Flacco, who you think is probably going to be the starter, or that's what the Browns think.
I mean, before this weekend, I would have said that Joe Flacco will be the day one starter.
He didn't even dress.
Because why else would you have him? Right, you're just trying to keep him in bubble wrap until the start of the season.
Right.
But you may as well see what you got. It looks like to me the poise is going to translate over. Now, maybe there'll be some big sack days for Shedeur, and of course there will be bad days for rookie quarterbacks. But the dude showed you in some of those throws that he made, the one Brad's talking about in the back of the end zone, that looked NFL Sunday starter-ish. And he's been raised for this. So whether he does it arrogantly or not, Lord knows I got one that won, five games last year. He's as arrogant as all get out. I watched that game, said, man, I'd rather have Shedeur at this point. Again, I may look stupid saying that later on.
Jaden Daniels you might rather have.
You know, what I'm hopeful for is the Bears have got a coach in Ben Johnson that can get what we need out of Caleb Williams. Real quick on another one of those high draft picks, Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Made his debut for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And again, I want to be careful about crazy takes after one round of full slate of preseason games. But 10 snaps on offense, 8 on defense, and they split those snaps essentially. I think Jacksonville is being very foolish here if the plan is not, man, just let this guy play DB first. I know he's trying to make history and basically play every snap and be the first to do that. And I respect it. But this, there've I'm sure been other players who fancy kind of doing that in the NFL, being a guy who could do both. You cannot do this for 17 games in the regular season in the NFL and survive. And especially a guy who doesn't even weigh 200 pounds.
Right.
Travis Hunter is well put together.
Yeah.
But we're talking about a guy who's trying to play every play in the most violent sport that there is, and. In a lot of cases, especially these defensive guys, guys that are playing one side of the ball aren't making it through 17 game seasons. What are we talking about here? And that's my point. If Jacksonville's going to run him out there, equal snaps on both sides, or God forbid, every single snap, this dude ain't going to make it. That's a bad plan. So instead of banking on the history that he wants to make or trying to acquiesce to whatever fantasy he's got of his career, you need to be making the plans for him.
Right.
This, to me, is if this continues. And again, it's the first preseason game. You're trying to keep him happy and content because he's got this, this goal of being a two-way player all the time. But at some point, you got to get your hands on it. And John and I have discussed this. I could be completely wrong. I think the chance where he has to be elite is on the defensive side. As a corner, a rangy corner in this league who will intercept everything. Because he's got hands like a wide receiver. Now, you put him on that other side of the ball, and you're lining him up like Justin Jefferson and Jamar Chase every single down. He's shown us he's a good receiver. He's shown us he's got good hands. I just talked about him as a DB. But he's not a guy I don't think who will be in the upper echelon. Like, he doesn't blow the top off in terms of speed. He's a great route runner. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. He's a good receiver.
Sure.
But I don't think he's top 5, top 10 elite like he can be on the defensive side. And so if you're so hell-bent, Brad, on trying to get him to be impactful and great on both, you're going to ruin him. You're going to ruin the chance he has to be great defensively. Does that make sense?
It does.
It's a bad plan.
I said it last week. I said maybe design some packages for him if you're going to use him on offense.
Amen.
Just line.
You sound like the preacher at church yesterday. That's right? What you sound like. That's common sense preaching.
Couple
right there.
Couple of packages.
What are we talking
specialty
about?
Maybe you've got some stuff that you really like him and you keep him happy. But, yeah, use his skill.
You do not let the kid dictate it. You do not
fair.
Let him dictate the plan.
No.
And what the plan should be is to make this guy to see if he can be Deion-ish on the defensive side of the ball and shut down one.
And I believe he can, by the way.
And here's me too, because he's so rangy. And here's the thing about him that separates him from other DBs. Half the time, Brad, the reason we've watched the NFL, we know it, we watch college, the reason those guys are playing DB in the NFL is because they were bad wide receivers they couldn't catch.
Right.
They're so athletic and agile and everything else. That's why we put them on the defensive side and we have them go bat balls down
because
they can't catch the damn
right.
thing. This guy's built for interceptions and pick sixes. What are we talking about? He could be Deion dancing down the sideline on a pick six. He could have 4 or 5 of them in a season. I could truly, if they pour everything in, at least in the Jason Smith plan for Travis Hunter, into everything, into him being a great defensive player. If you saw the game, you saw him whiff on a tackle. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
But remember, that was kind of Deion. I want him playing as much corner as possible. I want him good against the run. I want him good against the pass. And that's where I'm going to focus with, as you just said and preached, I'll have a package to keep him happy with a couple of routes and everything else where we put him in on offense.
Something that's changed, too, is a lot of the flashier players in the NFL are they're on offense, right? When Deion Sanders, go back 30 years ago when he was at the Falcons, and he's a corner.
Yes.
He was way flashier than any offensive player that I can recall being on the Falcons at that point. In other words, you can be a brand and you can be a corner and be on defense. And because 100%. if you use sticky gloves and you go get everything, like I promise you, you're going to be a bigger star than anybody.
He'd be an absolute nightmare on one side of the field. It'll be like those days of watching Deion where balls don't even go to that side because quarterbacks are so scared.
He'd catch it with one hand and then show it to the offensive player as he was running for a touchdown. He'd go like this.
And that would be making the most of a fantastic pick by Jacksonville, but you stand to ruin him by trying to throw him out there that many plays in the regular season if you're going to let it be the Travis Hunter plan. The other thing in that game, and we touched on it there in the first hour, and no, it won't be official, but Cam Little, the former Arkansas kicker, who many of you Razorback fans are already familiar with, I guess he spent his rookie season there with Jacksonville last year, hit a 70-yard field goal on the final play of the first half that would have broken the NFL record of 66 had it happened in the regular season. And that game's crazy to think about. Like we talked about, Justin Tucker holds the NFL's record. Justin Tucker, whose numbers have come down here in recent years, his accuracy number, but he holds the record for distance of official field goal at 66. Did that against Detroit back in 2021 for Baltimore. Little was a sixth-round pick last year out of Arkansas for Jacksonville. Made 27 of 29 field goal attempts as a rookie and all 27 of his extra points. His long last year was 59, and for him to hit again from 70, and it looked like, if you saw the highlights from it, it looked like it probably could have gone. I know if this gets a little bit cliche on some of these long kicks. It definitely had a couple of yards that it could have gone. It's crazy that it didn't have to bounce over the crossbar or anything else. I mean, it looked like it cleared it, if I'm not mistaken. So very impressive to do in that game as well. But Travis Hunter was the story. Real quick, before we get to a break, today, it was yesterday, and it was in a practice, not a game. I want to make sure I have those details correct. It's something to monitor. Even ESPN's picked it up because Landon Dickerson has been so good for the Philadelphia Eagles. But yesterday during practice, Landon Dickerson, their guard, Pro Bowl guard, stud guard, top five guard probably in the NFL, was carted off the field with an apparent leg injury. They're going to do an MRI, and that news might be coming down at any moment today. Might have already come down, and I've missed it. But it looked real serious. He is one of five guards. Remember how huge that Philadelphia offensive line was last year. He's one of five guards who's made the Pro Bowl every year since 2022. And per my guy Dan Orlovsky, ESPN quarterback analyst, but really NFL analyst, he mentioned that Saquon Barkley, probably about 500 of his league-leading 2,005 yards last year, came running directly behind Dickerson. And so, you know, if you're a Philly fan, you know there's been some change with that offensive line already. No, Mekhi Becton, who they had brought in after his time, I think, with the Jets and was a big part of them helping them win the Super Bowl last year. I think he's off with the Chargers now. And if Landon Dickerson is down with any serious injury, you know, any big-time injury is going to keep him out for an extended period of time, that's a big blow for a Philadelphia offensive line. It's one of the real strengths of that football team. So be something to monitor. Again, it happened in practice yesterday, but one of the best guards in football. And we'll have, you know, probably a couple more of these as we got two more weeks of preseason before it's official. Probably a couple more of these big ones that you have to monitor because they could really have some impact. You're out there playing starters. You know, take it back to the Bears. Ben Johnson elects not to play Caleb Williams and the Bears starters. Miami's playing Tua Tagovailoa and playing most of its ones, but the Bears elected not to. Listen, a lot of people are looking at this and saying, you know, Ben Johnson's being arrogant here. What do you think? You got a finished product or something? I mean,
right.
You know, if Cincinnati is playing Joe Burrow in its first preseason game and Miami's playing Tua Tagovailoa, do you really think that it's a good idea for you not to be playing Caleb Williams? If I spun it to you that way,
yeah,
it probably does sound like some arrogance on the part of Ben Johnson. This is probably the first time he's been criticized roundly by Chicago media or members of them as a, what are you doing not playing Caleb Williams?
Yeah.
The Bears fans watched Matt Nagy not play Mitch Trubisky, you know, a couple years in the preseason. Lord knows Mitch Trubisky needed as many reps as he could get. What are you doing here? Here's my thought on this.
Okay.
Ben Johnson's not dumb. I'm spinning a different way.
I think I know where you're going to go.
I fear this. Mm-hmm. I fear that Ben Johnson thought Caleb Williams wasn't ready to be out there.
Right.
That if Caleb Williams had been out there against the Dolphins on Sunday, that it would have been a mess.
Bad.
That the work that he has to do with this guy, remember, he's going under center basically for the first time in his career, and that's going to be the offense. Mm-hmm. It's playing from under center. It's almost like you're starting from scratch in terms of training him for what you want. Man, I think this is a sign that this kid is – I don't know if you've seen some of the – looks like he can't hit the side of the barn, side of a barn right now. I don't know if he's struggling with this intricate Johnson offense, which could easily be the case, you know, or struggling with balls under center. But I'm worried that this was indicative of maybe evidence that, you know, we're further behind. I don't know, that's a heck of a take, and it's way out there. But that's my concern. Ben Johnson's not arrogant. I think maybe Caleb Williams wasn't ready to go out there and play.
It could be a little,
not good.
I was thinking maybe a little bit of both, right? So you're like, oh, maybe he's not ready. Let's not throw him out there. And then also, let's give him confidence because he's the starter. We're just not going to even dress him. Sort of like what Flacco was doing. Like, he's the starter. Don't touch my quarterback.
You are probably right. It's a little bit of both.
In other words, it's like when you show up at the varsity game, you always don't want to sit with the JV kids because you're in the friggin' varsity. Similarly, it's always nice when you're doing an interview with an NFL network and I'm the starting quarterback.
The game against the Dolphins was in Chicago, and the analysts were saying that that Caleb and the ones had done the 70-minute walkthrough and practice before the game, that when I put that info in with Johnson's decision not to play him, it just felt like
at least
part of it is, man, we're still playing catch up, trying to get Caleb where we need to be. We'll do it before the game, but he doesn't need to be out there. Maybe go out there and not know what he's doing and get himself killed.
Yeah.
Out there trying to be a superstar. Yeah. So let this whole you brought a lot of common sense preaching to the show today,
the
and I appreciate it. But you're probably right for me that's trying to make it this big conspiracy theory. It's a little bit of both.
Maybe a little bit of both.
Maybe be a little bit further
behind than you're
supposed
to be. It can, I'm sure, be a little embarrassing when you're the starter. Like Tua, how deflating is it? You trot out there for the first series of the preseason, you don't get a touchdown against a bunch of twos and threes.
Well, that is a completely different story in the sense that, yes, if I'm the Miami Dolphins and Tua, with most of his ones, could not get it punched in against a Bears defense that was playing its twos and threes.
Oof.
That, to me, says I'm still not physical enough. They couldn't get in from the goal line.
Yeah, I didn't see that game, though.
Went down to a goal line stand with Tua still in there, and the Bears stuffed them with their twos and threes right there at the goal line. So it's the same Miami finesse team. You know, this will apply later. Can't play in the cold.
Yep.
That's when everything shuts down, because when they need the tough yards – that's where that team,
and they can't have Tua being a battering ram.
That's all built on finesse and speed with their receivers and getting the ball out quickly. That's what they don't do. And I thought we saw a little sign of that.
Mm-hmm.
When you can't punch the ball in against the Bears twos and threes, so Miami's got all kinds of things that needs to be worried about. This feels like a year where the Pats surpass them and move up in Miami.
I watched that game. I thought Pats, you know, that whole operation is like a machine now.
Drake scares me now, watching him and comparing what he's doing to what Caleb Williams is doing, because I just see a guy that looks like he's got command.
Yep.
And I'm not sure Caleb's got anybody yet in that Chicago locker room believing in him. He's certainly got a lot of work to do. Frankly, he just needs to get on the field. Hopefully, he'll be ready for their second preseason game.
Drake May doesn't get down. Like, I saw there was one goal line stand there at the beginning of the game, and they couldn't get it in, and they got it on in, like, the third or the fourth try. And he just does not waver. He's just solid.
He looks to me like a young Josh Allen.
Yes. Yes.
Because he can take off.
Yes.
He's a big boy.
Fast and big, yeah.
Now, don't try to be Josh and run folks over, because that'll lead to a short one. But if you do, you know, a little bit of that and a little bit of just being you, man, they may have their guy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to end up the guy that's crying because we've spent the number one pick on Caleb Williams and could have had Jaden.
I'm interested
or
in seeing
CJ
what Caleb
or Drake
does.
Or all of that.
So you won't be drafting Caleb Williams in your fantasy draft this year. By the way, I think I've figured out a way we're going to do it again, because there was some discussion from John last week.
Was he ready to quit?
I think he's just so discouraged from getting beat all these years that he's like, well, it's just not, you know, everybody's interested in doing it that I've talked to. So I think we're going to try it back out. And I know that you've got a lot of respect in that league. You take it very seriously.
I do.
You passed the belt along to Jessica Benson this year.
Yeah, I took
in
it
person.
To her person. That's how serious I take it.
So we're going to do it, and I hope John is part of that if he wants to be. So though.
Okay, we'll see. I'll try. Maybe I'll try to work on him and see.
Please do.
If I get in, he'll probably get in. Right?
I think he will. I think he will. He was just like, ah, Brad, nobody wants to do it anymore.
I'm tired of losing.
Well, he goes, will Ben do the commissioner? He doesn't want to do that. He's busy at Fox 13. And so I email Ben, and he's Hogan's like, yeah, let's do it.
Okay, we should do it.
Yeah.
Especially if Hogan's willing to be the commissioner.
He wants to commission it, yeah.
Okay. We'll get back in. We'll start the old league back up.
I like your energy about it. See, we got some fresh energy today. So
I'm ready.
Helps.
I won't draft Caleb. No way.
No.
No way. No. I've already got. I'm not going to give anything away. I've got a new strategy this year.
Oh. You take this very seriously. I listen to you. I get schooled by you every week during the season.
I've been too good in the regular season and not punching it in. Kind of like the Bills. I've been the Bills lately.
The goal line?
Yeah. Well, just the Bills. I run up a great regular season, but I can't punch through. I can't get past Mahomes and get in and get in.
Who got you? So, was Jessica beat you head on? Was it a championship game she got you?
No,
or did you make
I didn't
make
any championship game.
You didn't get that?
No, I think I got knocked out first round.
And you were first in the league going in, weren't you?
I know, dude. Yeah. But my team peaked early.
Yeah.
Well. Guys, if you don't listen to this show another segment, make sure it's the next one. Because I want to talk about what's happening in Millington at Tipton Rosemark. And you might be saying, well, what in the world should I care about going on at Tipton Rosemark? Well, on the other side of this break, I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to be tuned into. It's a big Memphis sports story. Listen, Jason John, 929 FM ESPN.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.
Wrapping up hour number two. Well, something I find very juicy. Now, for me, a former preps writer here in Memphis, you know, what's juicy to me may not be juicy to you. But I still got the old news nose. That's what they used to say about me back in my newspaper days. And I think it's translated over to radio.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the thing of that, you could smell news.
You school us with your news nose.
You smell the stories out. Mm-hmm. You sniff them out beforehand. And you start talking about them. And then what we've always sort of strive to do here on the Jason and John Show, produced by Brad Carson, is we want to give you tomorrow's headlines today.
I love it. It's
you like
facts.
That, don't you?
Yes.
Brad just smiled so big, y'all, on that my little slogan there.
It's true.
I'm going to say it again because your smile was so wide.
I'm going to write this down as a liner.
We give you tomorrow's headlines today.
That is exactly right.
You like that?
I love that.
And so tomorrow and in the days to come, I think you're going to start seeing some stories
mm-hmm.
about, and we're going to get more familiar with what's going on at Tipton Rosemark. And technically, I guess this is Millington, Tennessee that they are located in.
Yep.
It's called Tennessee Collegiate Academy Hoops. If you go over to Instagram, it's the way I'll tell this story. You can see that they've already got I'm already having people responding to tomorrow headlines today. They love it, Brad. Maybe we should bring that up.
That's going to be our new
line. They're already responding. They love it.
That's
J&J, tomorrow's headlines
trademark
today.
2025.
Maybe we trademark that. Like,
yeah.
We're like Pat Riley here, trademarking three-peat. But we're getting ahead of it.
I've already put it into the portal.
Thank you. And to Kelly, who just stamped that, and to you both, I appreciate that. I didn't know we were going to hit on somebody. That's how we like it around here.
We do. Organic.
Back to the story. Tennessee Collegiate Academy Hoops. Go look on Instagram. Appreciate you, Kelly. 14 posts. All very interesting. They have a roster of guys that some of which the names may be very familiar to you, and particularly one of this first one on the roster. Brad, are you with me on Instagram by chance? Are you following me here?
I need to follow
Jones,
you.
Dylan Jones, who
here.
Many have referred to now, just blew up mm-hmm. on the EYBL circuit. I think for Team Thad,
mm-hmm.
and he is a class of 2027 prospect, so got a couple of years in high school left. And right now, I believe, and Chuck Lawson and some other gurus can school me if I'm wrong, but he is the number one ranked prospect in the state for the class of 2027, could blow up from there in terms of national and everything else, but big time.
Mm-hmm.
He's coming. He's there, in fact.
Wow.
He's coming to this school, Dylan Jones. Not just him. I mentioned it with Brad earlier. Another name we were familiar with, Keeper Jackson, who I believe mm-hmm. played at Christian Brothers High School a couple years ago. Then he transferred out to go play to Columbus,
mm-hmm.
I think down in Florida, yes. Which I want to tell you, and I'm trying to pull all those things together, had the Boozer twins down there, and had an NIL deal, and it's a great situation for Keeper Jackson. He's coming back.
Oh, wow.
And he's going to be out here with Dylan Jones on this team. And if you're interested in the rest of the roster, which Brad mentioned, and he had seen it too, because everybody's sort of piecing this together because
yeah.
you've seen the post, Chase Givens.
Uh-huh.
The, I think the second oldest of the
yes.
three Givens brothers.
This is Curtis Givens III's brother.
Brad knows about these posts because your
Jake
son came up with some
Jake
of these
played
Givens
with,
brothers.
He played with this
so
young man.
Your son came up with Chase, basically.
Yeah, he played middle school ball with Chase.
And if I'm not mistaken, Chase had been at Houston High School.
Yes.
His brother, obviously, Brad just said it, is now over, and people are texting it. This is a story
Chase
that's
Givens.
Bubbling under.
Yeah.
Folks
have
been
Curtis,
on this.
I saw Curtis, and this is not a surprise, because the only thing I saw, and I'm so glad you're getting this.
Yes,
this is
yes.
So good.
Well, it's tomorrow's headlines
and
today.
And this is A material in Memphis, Tennessee, by the way, because like Chase has been around a long time, but obviously Curtis Givens now in Memphis, yeah. And his dad, of course, is legendary around these parts.
And so he's got a chance to be a really good prospect, just like his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a younger one that's my kid's age,
okay.
The third of the Givens brothers. Not on this team yet. Could be in the future, though, if this thing comes to fruition. But there are other names and other roster members that you all, I think this Jackson Hardaway played at White Station, I want to say, last year, and probably 6'8", forward center, 2026, he'll be a senior, I believe, and a bunch of other guys that I'll get more familiar with, but that roster is basically posted over at the Tennessee Collegiate Academy Hoops Instagram page, which, oh, by the way, already has 2,994 followers on just the 14 posts. So again, this has kind of come out of nowhere in terms of no one's been writing
nothing.
That I can find a story yet about a Memphis prep school being formed that's now, and if you check out some of the posts.
Okay, the handle is TCA Spartans Hoops.
I appreciate you doing that. If you check out some of the posts about this school, they've already put out some of the facts on them. Located in Millington, Tennessee, 35 minutes from the Memphis International Airport, small town pride and quick access to the big city, driven by tradition and family, athletics thrive in Shelby County. This is a deal where it looks like these players will be being educated as part of Tennessee Collegiate at Tipton Rosemark.
Right.
So a combining of the two things, because here's the thing, and we've talked about this, over the years, especially my prep years and everything else, whether it was, You know, at one point, Cowboy, who's a local grassroots coach, I think, was going to start a prep school. And then remember Reach Your Dream Prep,
yep.
which was going to be be all centered around Scott Labissiere from his Guardian. And that was a prep school. But the thing about these prep schools and why many of them never got up off the ground, it seemed like to me, was if you're going to draw in some of the top prospects mm-hmm. in the country or even get Memphis's best players to come play at a prep school located here, well, you got to have the academic side.
Right.
You have to have the accreditation side.
That's right.
Because, again, these prospects have to be eligible, academically eligible for college, right? That's the thing. Like, if these guys want to be advanced, sure, from a basketball standpoint, but you've also got to advance them academically so they can accept those scholarships to Memphis, to Duke, to wherever else, Alabama, mm-hmm. all these other places that Team Fed players have gone. And so you have to have the academic side. And what it appears to me, and again, this is sort of reporting on the fly, live here on J&J. This is how we do it. What it appears like to me is that this program, which is EYBL sponsored, by the way, Nike sponsored.
It's on their circuit, this EYBL Scholastic. That's what they're calling their league.
So you've got Nike's backing. You've got EYBL backing in this school
yeah.
that it's a, keep in mind, a school that is already formed and here, Tipton Rosemark. I don't know how familiar you guys are with their basketball program, but they've long operated on that.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, cats and kittens. It's Brian from The Commercial Break, the mediocre comedy podcast where my best friend Chrissy and I attempt to make sense of the world. We talk about the absurd, the ridiculous, and the stuff no one asked for, like internet weirdos, pickup artists, and why everyone is obsessed with crystals and colonics. It's all gotta stop. The show is free, it's frequent, and it's probably not for everyone. You can go to tcbpodcast.com, subscribe at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, or check out the show wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll see you on the next commercial break, and best to you.